Greetings and welcome to Flanagan's EcoLogic. I am your host, Ted Flanagan. And today it's EcoNet News, December 30th, 2024, Volume 26, Issue Number 12. Quote of the month: as the demand for EVs continues to surge, charging infrastructure expands and gas stations disappear. It won't be long before drivers start suffering from gas anxiety, not range anxiety. Pasquale Romano, ChargePoint CEO. Flanagan's net positive. We have all the solutions. British Airways from Heathrow to Mokba. It's 1998. Headed to the Global Forum on Sustainable Development, along with delegates from scores of countries. I am sitting next to an Indian woman, also attending the forum. We chat about life. Two souls from very different backgrounds. Such kind eyes. She wanted to know what I thought. What are my biggest concerns about sustainable development? The sanctity of Mother Earth. The Airbus jets soared over the North Sea. I let a few miles elapse and replied, greed and population growth. She didn't challenge me on the first, but her view of population growth remains ingrained in me. Imagine the collective intelligence of more people. What an experience in Russia. I learned a lot and wrote about it. My travelogue to Moscow that year was very well received. As much as the technical content, I got all sorts of comments on my perspectives from those cold and dreary days in the dead of winter in Moscow. I wrote about Gorky Street, Natasha, and the One Ring Circus. Oh, and the vodka with Ron Perkins and our new best friends. It struck me then how much my readers enjoyed a little levity, something off the energy path, a balance between technical content and some fun. So as you know, I have embedded travelogues in EcoNet ever since. Africa, South America, China, Japan, Thailand, the Philippines, Singapore, Malaysia, Korea, sailing adventures in Greece and in Maine, touring through Scandinavia, Sweden, Denmark, Norway, travels to Finland, the Czech Republic, Austria, Switzerland, Germany, Ireland, France, Italy, Spain, Portugal, Belgium, the Netherlands, Estonia, New Zealand. These were clearly my readers' favorite articles. To this day, and thanks in large part to EcoNet, I am an eternal optimist. Researching and writing EcoNet has filled my brain with great ideas, innovations, and new technologies, new ways of seeing and addressing the world. There are so many good people out there, and so many good minds, and some loud, others quiet. Clear to me is that our society, our collective intelligence and vision, has all the solutions we need right now to address our environmental woes. No question about it. Earthlings are just warming up with eco-solutions. Imagine what our kids and their kids will experience in their lifetimes. But for now, let's take action at home. Forget federal leadership. The coming years are going to be defined by state, regional, and local actions. Let's begin in your home and my home. It's time to be the solution, not to look elsewhere for solutions. There are many challenges that we face as a people, but destroying our habitat makes no sense. So I challenge each of us to take a stretch action, like a yoga pose, to give that extra push, to stretch just a bit further than usual, and in turn to save our habitat. It's time we act to sustain a healthy lifestyle, to enhance our quality of life, and to stop polluting our precious earth. EcoNet proves that it can be done. EcoMotion guides us. Zinc ion batteries. Lithium ion batteries are commonly used in portable electronics and EVs, since lithium is the lightest metal. But lithium has its downsides. It is combustible, it is flammable, it is marked by sourcing realities, and it poses significant environmental threats if not properly managed. Thus, researchers have been searching for and developing options and eco-friendly replacements for lithium. Enter zinc, an abundant metal that is promising for electrochemical applications, promising for batteries. Zinc is a metallic element. It is the 24th most abundant element on Earth, the fourth most produced metal in the world. It is widely known for its common use in galvanizing iron and steel, a process involving coating to prevent corrosion. Lithium has a higher energy density than zinc. It can store more energy. But zinc's lower energy density makes it less reactive and thus a safer material. It has been considered for years. Researchers at Exxon were analyzing zinc and patented zinc bromide flow batteries in the 1970s. Zinc batteries, specifically zinc halide batteries, are promising and right now are commercially available from a company called Eos. Its batteries bear a cost premium, but they also last longer. The Eos Z3 zinc-powered aqueous liquid battery module is fully commercialized, US-made, and manufactured. It is thus a viable alternative to lithium and lead-acid batteries. And it's a long-term energy storage technology, providing 3 to 12-hour discharges. The battery features an aqueous electrolyte, bipolar electrodes, and a polymer casing. Eos was founded in 2009, focused on projections of huge demand for long-duration energy storage, or LDES. The U.S. grid may need 225 to 460 gigawatts of LDES by 2050. Eos has grown from 2 employees in 2019. Its manufacturing is in Pennsylvania, where it transformed an empty building and turned the region into a world-class clean energy manufacturing hub. Eos now employs over 250 full-time workers in Turtle Creek, Pennsylvania. The Eos batteries are zinc halide. Eos batteries are made of 90% domestic content. According to MIT Technology Review, they use a water-based electrolyte, which makes them more stable. They have no need for safety measures such as active temperature control. They do have a higher risk of short-circuiting that has to be managed. They have longer lifetimes, 20 years, instead of 10 to 15 for lithium. Eos received a $303.5 million loan guarantee from the U.S. DOE Loan Programs Office, the LPO, to support the company's expansion, to enable it to boost its production up to 8 gigawatt hours per year by 2027. Per LPO conditional loan terms, Eos must tick a few boxes to receive the funding, including reaching technical, commercial, and financial milestones. In December, the California Energy Commission awarded a $42 million grant for long-duration energy storage at Camp Pendleton. The CEC grant was specifically for alternatives to lithium-ion batteries that can meet an 8-hour discharge requirement. 7 LDES projects were awarded a total of $170 million. The Pendleton grant will allow International Electric Power to install 6 megawatt/48 megawatt hours of Eos Z3 Cube energy storage there at one of the country's busiest Marine Corps installations. Camp Pendleton is the Marine Corps' largest West Coast expeditionary training center and supports over 70,000 military and civilian personnel and their families. The new storage project will be paired with existing installations of on-site solar and will be installed at the base's Haybarn Energy Reliability Center. Independent Electric Power plans to expand the Pendleton installation to a 50-megawatt system. This week, Eos announced a 400-megawatt-hour order from International Electric Power for the complete 50-megawatt project. This follows a recent order for 36 megawatts/216 megawatt-hours of storage for city utilities in Springfield, Illinois. Photovoltaics in extreme conditions. In past issues of Econet, we've reported on floating photovoltaics, or floatovoltaics, the deployment of photovoltaic arrays of solar over water. It seems crazy to me. Water is an electrician's enemy, but prove me wrong. Floating arrays are now slated to be deployed in rough seas, like the North Sea. Tethered and piling-mounted solar arrays are planned to augment offshore wind, in cases using the transmission lines in place for wind to take solar power ashore. An article in Clean Technica presents a top-of-mind question. Ocean storms create enormous waves that would destroy floating solar farms, wouldn't they? The article continues with a response. The answer is not necessarily. If correctly engineered and located in areas of the ocean that are typically protected from such storms, offshore solar can be done quite effectively. Let's back up. Photovoltaics have serious pros and cons. Let's start with the benefits. Water keeps the panels cool. In freshwater applications, floating arrays help reduce evaporation, expanding supplies that can be used for agriculture. Another upside, these arrays do not compete for land with urban areas, nor do they compete for land with agriculture. But once again, they need to withstand extreme marine conditions. They have higher maintenance costs due to saltwater corrosion, compounded by the constant stress of moving waves and persistent winds. They have potential impacts on marine life. China once again comes to the fore. It has already installed a floating system on top of a flooded former coal mine. Now China is taking solar far out to sea. In November, a 1 gigawatt offshore floating installation was commissioned. Developed by the Guohua Energy Investment Company, the solar park is 5 miles off the coast in the city of Dongying in the Shandong province. It will generate 1.78 billion kilowatt hours annually. The system consists of 2,934 platforms, large-scale steel truss platforms affixed to pilings. Each platform is 196 feet by 115 feet. Solar Duck is a Dutch/Norwegian company that was launched in 2019 as a spin-off of Damen Shipyards, a leading Netherlands shipbuilder, and that is in the photovoltaics business. Solar Duck employs modular, triangular platforms for its solar panels, linked together to form giant hexagonal arrays that undulate like carpets on the waves. Solar Duck uses marine-grade aluminum to minimize corrosion. RWE, the German utility, has entered into an agreement with Solar Duck to explore developing floating solar parks worldwide, starting with a 0.5 megawatt installation in the North Sea, near Ostend, Belgium. The systems will include battery storage. Solar Duck is keen to showcase its systems in the rough North Sea conditions and boasts that then it will be proven that the technology can be deployed practically anywhere in the world. A recent Wood Mackenzie report forecasts that the overall floating market could reach 77 gigawatts by 2033. The current level is 1.7 gigawatts. This report presents 12 suitable markets. 9 of the top 10 are in the Asia-Pacific region, accounting for 57 gigawatts of the total. The three largest markets, India, China, and Indonesia, account for 31 gigawatts of the potential. Europe's three largest markets are Germany, 2.2 gigawatts, France, 1.2, and the Netherlands at 1 gigawatt. The U.S. level is expected to reach 0.7 gigawatts by 2023. EV charging networks. Some perspective and good news. EV chargers are becoming more and more ubiquitous. And as with gas stations, there's competition brewing. ChargePoint is a level 2 charging network and deserves credit for its hundreds of thousands of chargers. It maintains the largest charging network in the world. Hyper is how Electrify America describes its 350 kWh chargers. Soon they'll be at Costco. Tesla's worldwide supercharger network now stands at 6,500 stations and some 60,000 connectors. Tesla is gradually opening up its network to other EV brands. Meanwhile, EVgo plans 10,000 stations in America by 2029. ChargePoint maintains one of the largest EV charging networks in the world, with more than 200,000 active public charging ports. An additional 355,000 chargers are also available through the ChargePoint app. ChargePoint recently celebrated its 30,000th charging spot on its U.S. network. For comparison, there are around 12,000 Starbucks in America. The 30,000th charging spot was opened in Chattanooga, Tennessee. ChargePoint boasts that it has charged more than 12.9 billion gas-free EV miles. Electrify America is building a network of charging stations coast to coast. It has now topped 1,000 stations. Electrify America boasts to be the nation's largest open hyper-fast charging network. The network was built out in 47 states plus DC and 7 Canadian provinces in less than 6 years. Every Electrify America charge is carbon-free. Its network is backed with 100% renewable energy via renewable energy certificates. Its mission is to unlock equitable electrification for all through community investment, specifically in underrepresented communities. Electrify's latest news is that it has partnered with Costco stores in California, Colorado, and Florida. There, chargers will be available to all EV brands, and Costco will set the charging rate or price. The initial 5 Costco locations will have 350 kW chargers. I was interested to learn that Electrify guests can use the charging stations without a membership. They simply use Amex, Visa, MasterCard, or Discover credit cards. The payments can also be made with the Electrify America mobile app and through Apple Pay and Google Wallet. As of July 2024 and worldwide, Tesla had 6,500 stations with 60,000 connectors. At these stations, you just drive up and plug in. The chargers recognize your car and the power flows. Nothing to do. At the end, just unplug. The transactions are all virtual. Within the United States, there are 2,443 Tesla stations with 28,111 ports. In California, there are 506 stations with 7,947 connectors. Meanwhile, EVgo has announced that it will build 7,500 fast charging stations around the country in the next 5 years, tripling its footprint by 2029. Like Tesla, its business model is to own and operate its chargers. It plans to have some 10,000 stations by 2029. EVgo secured a $1.25 billion loan guarantee from the U.S. DOE to build stations, putting up 1,594 of its charging stalls as collateral. EVgo also has a partnership with General Motors. Wisconsin Solar. The 1.3 gigawatt Vista Sand Solar Farm has now been approved by the Wisconsin Public Service Commission. The farm in Portage County will cover 8,500 acres and will generate 2.1 billion kilowatt hours annually. The project's approval has been heralded as the biggest step in Wisconsin history in curbing carbon emissions, cutting 1.6 million metric tons of CO2 emissions each year. Fully 95% of the solar farm's output will replace fossil fuel, carbon-heavy sources of power. There was public opposition to the massive solar project. Its site was selected based on flat land, low population density, and access to transmission. In this case, the proposed site is adjacent to the Buena Vista State Wildlife Area, home to many greater prairie chickens, which at the time were near extinct. These are also called pinnated grouses and boomers. Doral Renewables agreed to maintain a 500-foot buffer between its arrays and important habitat for the chickens. Doral also agreed to restoration of 7,900 acres of agricultural land near the wildlife area. Vista Sands is by far the largest solar project in the state. So far, there is 2.6 gigawatts of solar statewide in Wisconsin. The $2 billion Vista Sands project also includes 300 megawatts of battery energy storage. It was developed by Doral Renewables from Philadelphia. Wisconsin is far from ideal for solar, but Doral's CEO notes that solar has come down 85% in cost in the past years, panels are more efficient, and that these factors make solar farms viable even in places like Wisconsin. PG&E's $15 billion clean energy boost. PG&E has landed a $15 billion federal loan guarantee to expand clean energy. It is the biggest commitment ever from the U.S. Department of Energy's Loan Programs Office, the LPO. The LPO is working hard to disperse funds before the next administration takes office. This will be the LPO's largest commitment. The LPO has $250 billion in lending authority to finance the restructuring or renovation of power plants, power lines, and other energy infrastructure into new or modernized clean energy assets. So far, and in the past 4 years, the office has lent and or has provided backstop support for $55 billion in funding to 32 different low-carbon, energy-related manufacturing, transportation, and infrastructure projects. PG&E was forced into bankruptcy in 2019, incurring tens of billions of dollars of liability related to a deadly wildfire sparked by a failed power line. Since it emerged from bankruptcy in 2020, it has struggled to modernize and harden its power grid while shouldering a challenging debt load. With LPO support, PG&E plans to expand hydropower and battery storage, upgrade transmission capacity through reconductoring and grid-enhancing technologies, and enable virtual power plants throughout its service territory. The PG&E loan guarantee followed a $2.5 billion conditional loan guarantee to Wisconsin Electric to build up to 1,650 megawatts of utility-scale renewable power and energy storage projects. Recipients of the federal loans have to make sure that the financial benefits received will be passed on to customers or communities served by the utility. Montana Supreme Court rules in favor of youth. In August of this year, the Montana State Supreme Court ruled in favor of young people. A group of 16 plaintiffs, aged 5 to 22, claimed that their health and prospects were being imperiled by the climate crisis. The Supreme Court held that Montana's Constitution guaranteed a right to a stable climate system. It invalidated a law barring regulators from considering the effects of greenhouse gas emissions when permitting new fossil fuel projects. The court held that their health and futures were being jeopardized. The 6-1 decision was the first of its kind. It was the first lawsuit to go to trial nationwide by young environmental activists challenging state and federal policies that they say are exacerbating climate change. In this case, the court agreed, confirming that the future of our children cannot be sacrificed for fossil fuel interests. Thanks in part to Greta Thunberg, youth-led lawsuits nationally have taken aim at government policies that encourage or allow the extraction of fossil fuels. Our youth scored a major victory in August in Montana. While some similar cases have failed, Hawaii agreed as part of a first-of-its-kind settlement with 13 young people to take action to decarbonize its transportation system by 2045. Africa's Renewable Electricity Highway. A $1.2 billion project, an electricity highway, has been built to link two countries' electricity supplies and to share their intermittent renewables. In early December, power began to flow along this valuable connector. Ethiopia is home to Africa's largest hydroelectric facility, the Grand Ethiopian Renaissance Dam. Kenya boasts one of the largest geothermal plants in the world, the Olkaria Geothermal Project, a 792 megawatt facility in East Africa's Great Rift Valley. This tectonically active area accounts for most of Kenya's huge 10,000 megawatt geothermal potential. The Ethiopia-Kenya connector can transfer up to 2,000 megawatts of capacity in either direction. It is currently being used daily to move 200 megawatts of power into Kenya. The electricity highway links the two countries with 650 miles of transmission lines. This gives both Ethiopia and Kenya access to backup supplies. In times of drought, Ethiopia will lean on Kenya. In times of abundant rainfall, Ethiopia can store energy in its dams. More recently, a link was opened between Kenya and Tasmania. Same idea, same backup resilience value, the simple notion of power sharing. There's a big need as power demand is growing rapidly. Ethiopia's electricity consumption per capita increased fourfold since the start of the century, and that's a population of 130 million people. Furthermore, in 2017, Ethiopia launched a campaign to electrify the entire country by 2025, called Universal Electrification. Currently, only one in four homes there have power. Kenya's per capita thirst grew 75% in the same time frame. The Asian Development Bank provided $300 million in funding for the Ethiopia-Kenya link. It was also funded by the World Bank through its 13-country initiative known as the East African Power Pool. There are five power pools in Africa that power system planners envision linking for power exchanges. Other African connectors have been valuable to system operations. In neighboring countries and regions, Zambia and Namibia have a link, and so do two regions of the Democratic Republic of the Congo, which have a 600-mile link. Lithium battery record price drop. According to Bloomberg New Energy Finance, lithium-ion battery prices saw their biggest annual drop since 2017. Lithium-ion battery pack prices dropped down by 20% in 2023 to a record low of $115 per kilowatt hour. Factors driving the decline include cell manufacturing overcapacity, economies of scale, low metal and component prices, adoption of lower-cost lithium iron phosphate batteries, and a slowdown in electric vehicle sales growth. Currently, there is significant overcapacity. There is some 3.1 terawatt hours of fully commissioned battery cell manufacturing capacity global. That is more than 2.5 times the annual demand for the lithium-ion batteries in 2024, according to BNEF. Battery cell prices dropped more this year than battery metal prices. That means that margins for battery manufacturers are being squeezed. This will likely force smaller manufacturers to close, as they are most susceptible to lower cell prices, noted BNEF's battery technology team. A salute to my readers. For 40 years, yes, 40 years, I have published EcoNet News and its predecessor weekly and monthly newsletters. This is the last issue. Originally, EcoNet was the IRT when I worked for the New York Power Authority in 1984. Matt Hastings encouraged me to write it. Then I moved to Colorado with Talmadge Petty's help. I formed IRT Environment, worked at Rocky Mountain Institute, and we had subscribers and mailed out weekly newsletters. This continued through several jobs in Los Angeles, working for the city and the Energy Coalition. For the past 17 years, EcoMotion has been EcoNet's home. For 40 years, I have written every word. I've taken seriously the responsibility of presenting the truth and to getting stories right. It has been a distinct pleasure to serve the news to all of you for all of these years. You, my interested readers, have encouraged my journalism and have given me the liberty to focus on the positive, to report only on positive news, so encouraging in aggregate. Now I am focusing on EcoMotion and our consulting works. It's exciting, cutting-edge stuff. Our team is advising a wide variety of clients on climate action, solar plus storage, resilience and e-mobility. We're getting projects done. We relish the role of being an owner's rep, an honest broker of all things sustainable. It's a rewarding role. We can point to so many results. And new projects at EcoMotion are causing us to continue to learn in leaps and bounds, and to have more and more positive and important impacts. Thanks to Sierra Sky, Elise, and our coach Reese Waters, Flanagan's Ecologic Podcast is now an established and rated podcast. We have produced over 200 episodes with remarkable and inspirational guests. A rapidly growing listener base is eager to hear these stories. It's an exciting form of media featuring what works. It's EcoMotion's new voice. Let's continue to be in touch. Tune in to Flanagan's Ecologic Podcast. Please suggest podcast guests for us to feature. Thank you all for being my EcoNet readers. I am humbled by the thanks and appreciation that I've received over the years for writing the news. It has been an honor to have your trust that your time reading EcoNet was worth it. That's it. Thanks for listening to Flanagan's Ecologic. We'll see you next time.